It's the Burt Show.
Hey, I don't even know what your name is. Steve.
Yeah, Steve. How you doing?
Ready to kick some ass, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I am going, give me a second here, because I want to read your email. Tracy forwarded this to me, so hold on a second, because I got to pull it up. And when did you send this to her?
I don't know, I guess maybe 3 days ago, 2 or 3 days ago.
So random, but here's the email. My name is Steven. I don't know if you're the correct person. This went to Tracy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're the correct person to get in touch with, but I have a situation going on in my life that I could use some other perspective on. I'm a 34-year-old man, and there's another adult male I dislike so much, I'm actually thinking about fighting this guy. I haven't been in a fight in years, like since I was a kid. Anyway, this guy gets me so angry. We occasionally work together, sort of. We sometimes interact at the same social events, and we have a mutual friend or two. Nobody especially close to either of us, but I know we do know some of the same people. Anyway, I really think about clobbering this guy. I think he wants to fight, too. I'm curious, do people still arrange fights like back in the school days? There's my cell phone. I'd love to hear what the Burt Show says and what the listeners think and then get their advice. So, hell, maybe we'll even get the guy on the air and see why he's a jerk to me all the time. So, Steven.
Yes.
You're 34, dude.
I would say I am 34. I don't think he would be awake right now.
What?
Well, I want to know what things have happened.
Your interactions with him.
Yeah, what things have happened to cause you to decide, you know what, you know, backyard 2 o'clock this afternoon.
I'm going to give him a fat lip.
Yeah.
Let me say first of all, I feel kind of ridiculous that this has even kind of come up.
Okay.
Like a couple of years ago. This guy, like I said, we sort of move in the same social circles.
Mm-hmm.
And one time we were at the same place and I accidentally broke a table. We're like roughhousing, just being guys, being stupid. And he made this really big deal about it. It wasn't his table or anything like that. But I felt bad. I paid for the table. And then all this stuff came out where he, you know, he thought I was too much of a jerk and I was really loud and I was embarrassed. So I guess there's always been sort of bad blood, and we've tried to talk it out more than once. But
hug it out.
I can just feel like he just gets me angry. I can't even describe it. And tonight, actually, I'm supposed to present this award at this event, and I don't want to give away too many details. Basically, I'm supposed to present this award at an event, and I've heard that he's going to be there, and he's just the kind of guy that's going to make me look bad. He's the kind of guy who's going to have some kind of flippant comment to say or embarrass me in public. He's just that kind of guy. He's that guy that jokes around a lot but doesn't know quite when to stop. And for some reason, it really bothers me. No matter what my wife tells me, I just get so mad. And I feel like a fool, kind of, but part of me just wants to go, you know what? Let's just half it out and fight. And I know that sounds really dumb, but I really want to do it. I really feel like I want to do it.
All right, let me add two questions. One quickly, is it a black tie event?
No, I mean, people will be dressed up, but it won't be like tuxedos and...
But it's suits and stuff. Yeah, you'll be wearing a suit. Yeah, you have a tie on, right?
Yeah, I'll have a tie on.
Right, so you have to loosen the tie before you go after
him. No, take it off.
Absolutely. I'll have to have someone hold my jacket, too.
Take off the tie because they can grab it and pull you in with it.
Roll up your sleeves?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So here's my question. You think you can take him?
Okay, this is a little embarrassing, too. I have, like, a heavy bag, like the kind boxers hit in my basement.
You have prepared for this.
Just like most people who buy workout equipment, I bought this thing a long time ago. Actually, my wife bought it for me, and I've rarely used it lately. Uh-huh. Been using it every day.
So you're warmed up, you're ready to go. You got your right hook ready.
All right, now
he's in the meat locker. He's worked out a deal with, you know, whatever the butcher is in town. He's punching the...
He's running the stairs at the Capitol downtown.
Right. And my second question was, what does your wife say? I want to know about the conversation you've had with your wife about this.
My wife, she's so nice, and she's borderline corny. That's kind of like nice and white bread my wife is. And she can't even, this is so far out of the realm of her world that she thinks, I think she thinks I'm kidding when I go, I just get so mad. And she tries to talk to me, honey, it's okay. And, you know, we don't have to go to this party if you think he's going to be there. But then that makes me feel bad again, like I'm depriving us of being able to do something fun because of sort of my hang-ups with this guy or his hang-ups.
In an average 30-day period, how many times will you see him at anywhere?
30-day period, I'll see him at least maybe one, I'll see him once, but I kind of work in real estate, and so it looks like I'm going to be working with a company that he works for. So I'm probably going to see him more, which is kind of how this has all come up, and me presenting the award tonight is part of me sort of getting integrated with this company that he works for.
Now, let me ask you this. You're presenting this award. Is there a possibility that he might actually win this award and you will have to hand it off to him?
No, I would have to. I'm part Japanese, so I would have to put a sword in my gut if that was the case. But no, I'm
going to. Wow. Well, if you're Japanese, I mean, do you really need the punching bag? Because you get some of those, you know.
Judo chop!
Retro throws on him.
You can crouching tiger, hidden dragon.
I used to wrestle a long time ago. So
a little jujitsu action in there.
Hold on, okay.
No, I'm just presented to him, but he might be one of the MCs, which is why I'm so worried. He's the kind of guy like that's going to say something about me and embarrass me, or I just, you know, my stomach, like I woke up this morning, and this is embarrassing. I dry heaved because I was so sort of nervous about this tonight.
What I want to know is, you've obviously played this out in your mind 100 times. How do you see this playing out tonight? Like, chronological order of what's going to happen, when you're going to challenge him to the duel, how it's all going to go down.
I'm going to try to give him the benefit of the doubt. I figure I'm just going to kind of let the evening go. Mm-hmm. If I see him, I'll say hello. Our wives are friends, which makes it kind of weird, too. But I'm just going to say hello. But if he does something, I mean, even if he like says something on the microphone just to embarrass me, I'm going to confront him. I am. I'm just going to basically get in his face and say, you know, how do you want to solve this? You can either knock it off, we can sit down and talk, or we can go take care of it outside. I've heard, and again, this is like through friends of friends, that he kind of talks bad about me behind my back, and he says, you know, if we did get into some kind of fight, I would probably have friends help me because I would need the help and all this kind of...
Oh, no, he doesn't know you have a heavy bag.
Right. Now, what made you dry heave this morning?
Last night I went to sleep and I was just wiped out. I had worked until like 10:30 or 11 at night, but driving home, that's all I could think about was, you know, tomorrow I'm going to have to be there on stage, and I get nervous in public as it is, and mm-hmm. I just know he's going to embarrass me, and it's just one of those,
anxiety.
I mean, maybe Jeff can understand. It's just one of those things where some guys just get to you. They just get to you, and as a guy, I just feel sort of the need to get aggressive. I don't, like I said, I haven't been in a fight since I was a kid, and where I probably just pushed the guy and he pushed me back and we, you know, rolled around in the dirt and then cried about it. But I just really feel like I want to hit him, or I just want to get it done. I guess I think like a fight would somehow settle it, which sounds sort of dumb and juvenile, but I really feel like that might be the only way to sort of...
Hey, David?
Yes.
Hey, go ahead. You're on with Steve.
Yeah. Look, do this, man. Just go ahead and beat the hell out of him.
And,
a good night.
And then what?
Here's what you do. You walk in, you hit him about 3 times and say, you lost, and then go home and make love to your wife. You get the best sex of your life, baby. I'm telling you. Walk in there, bam, bam, I'm out of here. I got to go make love.
And it will be the best sex ever.
You'll be hanging off the ceiling going, that's my man.
Now, Steven, just to clarify, because I don't want you to get confused, do not punch your wife and make love to your enemy. Okay? What you want to
do? Sometimes Jeff.
I'm writing this down. Can you slow down?
Okay. Make love to the guy, punch the wife. No, wrong again.
What time is this ceremony taking place this evening?
It's actually kind of late. I'll probably do my thing for like 10:30.
It's fairly late. Okay. Well, I think
we should go around the room and make predictions, or like give him like our final little bit of advice, like fight or don't fight, all around the room before he goes.
I don't think there's going to be a fight. I don't think.
Are we saying what we predict is going to happen, or what
I think the guy says something over the microphone, and I think you confront him, and it's a big heated confrontation. But I don't think there's ever any significant physical contact. But if there comes to be, always go with scissors first.
What?
Rock, paper, scissors. Every fight starts with
not
rock,
literal
paper,
scissors, but
gotcha. Yes, stab him in the neck. Cut
his tie. Yeah. That'll piss him off.
You know what you need to do is put a flower in your lapel that squirts fake ink.
And the buzzer in the hand when you shake his hand.
Oh, got you. Whoopee cushion, man. Yay.
I think that he's just angry enough to where if something is said, Steven's going to say, all right, dude, I've had it. Let's step outside. And everybody's going to file out there and, you know, maybe
it'll
one
be
punch
like high school,
and
be like, fight, high school, fight, 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 fight.
And there'll be a big crowd and you're going to like throw one punch. But just remember, please take off your necktie first because that is a good weapon. They grab you by it. They pull you in with it. But if he's wearing his, you can do that to him.
When you're hitting the heavy bag in your garage, do you think of him?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to try to sugarcoat it, yeah.
Melissa, what's your...
Have you drawn a face on this bag?
I haven't drawn his face, but I put an X where his face would be because he's shorter than I am.
See? Measured it up.
It's going to be a brawl. I can feel it.
Steven, I don't think that... something has to happen. Like, I think you're beyond the point. I think a fight's going to happen. I think you were going to black out, and then when you wake up, everybody's going to be looking at you like, oh, my God. And then the dude's going to be a bloody mess on the floor, and then... Yeah, you'll walk out.
You're going to have a lapse in memory, and you're going to kill him.
But you'll walk out slow. You'll grab your woman's hand. You'll take her home, and you know.
You'll make
throw your coat back over your shoulder. Walk out there with a swagger.
Yo, Adrian!
And then the credits will roll, and there'll be a sequel next week.
I think you show up so mad and so ready to do this. I think he's going to see how that you're so angry that you would kick his ass. And he's going to back himself out of it, and he's going to talk out of it, and it sounds like he has a big mouth. He's going to talk his way out of it, and you're going to end up hugging it out. He's going to be like, dude, come on, buddy, we're buddies. Let's hug it out. Come on, let's hug it out. And he's going to see how mad you are.
He's too mad for that.
I think you're too mad for that, and I'm with Melissa and Jamie. I think you're fighting. I think you're going to throw down somehow, some way. And I don't even know that it'll make it outside, because I think at this award ceremony, you guys are going to have some stuff to drink. The wives are going to be talking. He's going to say some smarmy comment that's going to just irk you and be the wrong way. And I think the shoves and the first punches are going to be thrown right there.
Over the table.
I mean, right there, right next to the table. I don't think you make it outside.
All right, Steven, Jeff, I want to ask your advice on this. Because, Steven, since, you know, most of us think you're going to fight, you have to have some cheesy Steven Seagal line when you're done kicking his ass.
Yes.
So, Jeff, what should Steven say once dude's on the ground?
Oh,
here's your award, me kicking your ass.
Now, I gotta go make love to my wife.
I like it. Write that down.
Steven, are you writing that down?
I'm writing that down.
You gotta practice the line. Now you gotta practice it on us because you've thought through the rest of this fight. You gotta think through the end of it with Phil's line.
Yep, Phil, turn up the music. Steven, let's hear your line.
I got your award, punk, and it's me kicking your ass. Go home and make love to my wife.
There you go, Steven.
We will talk to you on Monday morning.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. Good luck. Go get him.
The Burt Show.
Phil Tarana is back from vacation.
Hola, mi amigos.
¿Cómo estás?
No bien. No bueno.
We're going to cover a lot of ground with Phil today on his vacation in Mexico.
Oh, it's excellent. I hate America right now. This is the last place I want to be.
Where in Mexico did you go?
Place called Barcelo Maya Beach. It was about an hour south of Cancun, about 20 minutes south of a little town called Playa del Carmen. Mm-hmm. And we did the whole resort package, the whole all-inclusive. And if you ever go down to Mexico or, you know, go to the Caribbean, that's the way to go. Just pay one price right there. We got our money's worth. We got our money back in airfare and hotel alone. And then, and, you know, in all-inclusive, you get food and drinks involved as well. So, I mean, I think I drank my weight and pina coladas and rum all weekend.
They were like, we got to get this gringo out of here. We are so going to be out of business next week.
What does gringo mean?
Kind of like white dude.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Because a couple people called me gringos. I was like,
yeah,
hey,
cool.
Thank you. No?
Right.
I don't know what to hit you or to shake your hand. So.
Started chest butting him like, what are you talking about, huh? You want some of this American stuff, huh?
What's up?
No?
I'll bring it. Do you want to, can I tell you a quick story now?
Sure.
Okay, you'll like this. So I don't know if y'all have noticed, I'm a big Georgia Bulldogs fan.
Hmm.
And I even, describe exactly what that looks like on my shoulder.
It's the Georgia G.
Right. And describe, it's the black circle G.
Yeah.
And then all Georgia fan knows, and then there's a red circle that goes around it, a little bitty red circle that goes around it.
Mm-hmm.
So we get down to Mexico, and it's our first day out in the water, or just out at the pool, out playing around, and I'm wearing it. No, I didn't go shirtless.
Still not going shirtless?
I couldn't do it.
Really?
Because, you know what, I stopped, because after I took the pictures, I kind of started drinking again. I haven't been training as hard as I wanted to, and I'm still just not as comfortable as I want to be with my body. But, I mean, I was comfortable enough with myself. Anyway, I wasn't shirtless, but I had it wasn't like a redneck, you know, tank top on with some pit stains or anything. But I did have like a muscle tee on the whole weekend. And
it wasn't your K-Fed wife beater?
No, that one, I left it here. Okay. It got
too many cigarette holes.
Yeah. And so we get down there, and I had a sleeveless shirt on, and I'm walking around, and I'm noticing the first thing that happens as we're at the pool, you know, a lot of the workers, you know, any of these resorts have thousands of employees, and they're all walking up, you know, do you need anything? Do you need a drink? Can I get you anything? You know, do you need directions around? Welcome. Well, everyone's been real friendly. However, I also noticed that the only people being overly friendly are the guys. So I'm like, no, I'm fine. You know, there's a group of us. There's like 10 of us there. So we're walking around, and, you know, people are asking me, what can I get you? Hola, amigo, you know, ¿cómo te llamas? And I'm like, mi amo Marcos, what the hell is going on? So finally, I asked the girl up at the front desk, and she sees my circle, and I had the shirt on, and I have a circle G on my shoulder, and then she goes, to novio. And I said, no novio.
That's boyfriend.
And so I said, no, why? K, why? Apparently, in the Latin and Hispanic culture, homosexuality is not taken very well. So when a lot of the Latin and Spanish men, they used to go out, and when they would go out into public to pronounce their homosexuality to other men, they would paint on a G on their shoulder.
No way. That is funny.
So come to find out, a lot of the men down there thought I was gay because I had a G painted on my shoulder.
But then you put a t-shirt on instead of that muscle shirt.
But the truth is, the only reason it's not is because I have it circled in, because there's a red circle going around it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to explain it. I was like, no, football, college, education.
Oh, and you go down to Mexico and football. I'm in soccer.
Yeah, yes.
Now, so you're screwed all over the place.
I'm a gay soccer player now.
Save that.
It's good to see that you can hook up with women in our country or south of the border also.
Exactly.
Something's translate to every
I
country.
I cannot win.
Well, before Phil left for vacation, we sent him out on his latest homework assignment from these men's magazines, because I read these things, and sometimes I'm flipping through the advice, you know, like they give to other guys, and I'm like, this makes no sense to me, and it would just make more sense if women gave guys advice in these magazines than guys giving advice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as a guy, like, your biggest fear and biggest challenge when you're out at a bar, because we have been told for the longest time that if there is a bunch of women around, and they're out on a girls' night out or whatever, that is like off limits. I mean, you don't have numbers on your side. It is very, very intimidating to try to approach a group of women when you see one of them that you're very attracted to. Well, AskMen.com gave a whole bunch of different instructions on how you could do just that. If you're a single guy at a bar and you see four or five different women and there's one in the pack that you were just digging on, they gave like four or five different instructions on exactly what to do in order to separate her from the pack and do it successfully.
Mm-hmm.
So I have had roommates that were really, really, really good looking. And it is very, very, very rare that any guy can actually get this done. But when you read AskMen.com, they make it sound so easy. You just follow these rules, no worries. So we sent Phil out with those rules in hand to see if it would actually work on a group of women. And it was so long ago that we did this, I don't even remember what the rules were.
Well, the rules were simply, you would see the group of women, you know, for lack of a better term, the herd of women together, the group of women together, and
the
you would... The flock of women. You'd see the group of women together, and you would focus in...
Is it any wonder at all this guy isn't getting sex in Georgia?
Babe, I like your udders.
Oh, God.
Latin America either.
So, thank you. So, you'd see the group of women together, and you would focus in on one of them. And per the rules from AskMen.com, you would either A, buy one a drink. If, like, you know, let's say I focus in on you, Melissa, and I notice you're drinking a Bud Light. Mm-hmm. I would buy you a Bud Light. and either I'd send it to you or I'd take it over to you myself.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, charm the other group of women as well.
Right.
You know, hey, how you doing? Everybody having a good time tonight? Well, what's the occasion? Girls night out? Oh, great. And then you would just simply, per askmen.com, ask Melissa, hey, can I talk to you for a couple seconds? Hey, can I pull you to the side? I'd just love to talk to you for 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically, that's all the rules. And per the conversation, you just feel it out from there. And your ultimate goal is to get the phone number from the girl.
It's starting to come back to me now. Wasn't the first rule like buy her a drink, let her know that you're the one that bought the drink, but don't approach her immediately?
Mm-hmm.
Just let her and her friends kind of like debate over who you are, what right. you look like, and then almost like forget that you're the one that bought her the drink. And then later in the night, you make the approach. I think these are the rules, right? Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to win over the rest of the women in the group, especially the one woman that's always hardcore about, hey, it's a girl's night out, no
guys. The mother hen.
The mother hen. You're supposed to make friends with her.
That's mm-hmm. right. You definitely mm-hmm. got to win her over. And then once everybody in the group accepts you, then you kind of break off into like a sub-conversation with the girl that you were initially attracted to. Before you know it, you have her away from the rest of the pack.
And I'll tell you this. Once again, because we've tested these theories before about the first time we did it was how to pull a woman away from her guy as they're on a date.
Yeah.
And it worked. And once again, the one key factor that you have to have in doing any of these stupid men's rules from these men's magazines and websites,
mm-hmm.
confidence, confidence, confidence. That is all it takes. So again, I had the assignment to go out, pull a girl away from her. Flock, and then get her number.
Her herd. Her gaggle of girls.
Right.
And then get her number by the end of our conversation. And I'll tell you this, I succeeded and I failed miserably at the same time.
Okay.
Here's what happened. So the place I did this combination of a couple of different clubs and bars I went to. The places I did it, I think these are the top three. They didn't have like waitress service. So most of the time, I think on these three as well, I had to take the drink over there after making initial eye contact with the girl and with the flock gaggle of women and take the drink over there and then talk to the girls from there and pull the girl away.
See, now, if you failed, I would say you couldn't follow the askmen.com rules right off the bat, so that's maybe why it didn't work out.
Well, the only reason that it didn't work out, and you'll hear this, is because with each attempt, while I was able to get the girl away from her flock mm-hmm. and was able to initiate mm-hmm. conversation, couldn't get one phone number out of it.
Oh, no.
So I was able to get the girl away.
You were halfway home.
Exactly. So I failed.
But it was when you were one-on-one with her.
One-on-one. One-on-one with her.
That's an entirely different topic for another time.
Right. That's another AskMen.com set of instructions.
I was doing great until she actually had to have a conversation with me.
So what you're going to hear is this first piece of audio is I saw the group of girls. I noticed she was drinking a drink and I had a drink in her hand. I actually had to physically buy the drink, took it over to the girl. And unfortunately, the audio of me charming the women, it was very simple. It was very loud at this club, but it's just me saying, hey, how y'all doing? You having a good time? Great. I got you a drink, and this is me taking a step over with the first girl that I met mm-hmm. at the club after I put a drink in her hand.
I've kind of been watching you from across the club. You know, hope you're enjoying your drink. Hope you're having a good time. You know, I just want to pull you away, and I just like, just curious if I can get your phone number. I'd love to take you out sometime. What are the chances that leave tonight with your phone number?
What if I talked to her
and I said, look, I promise, you know, you don't have to come home with me. I'm just looking for like a phone number, you know?
I couldn't quite make out what she said. She said, my friend over there is
my
a
what? Girlfriend over there would not like it if I left with, or if I, my girlfriend would not like it if I left her tonight.
What does that have to do with giving you the phone number?
Keep listening.
I don't want to take you out tonight. Maybe in the future. So it probably is not going to happen. So when you say girlfriend, you mean girlfriend. Right, so I'm probably shooting in the wrong direction here. Right, so it's not going to happen.
So she's claiming that she digs chicks.
She's claiming she was a lesbian.
Okay. Never had a shot at that.
Yeah.
But you also violated the last time we did this, the rule of obtaining a phone number. You didn't you didn't keep the education that you got the last time is
that's right.
You don't give them the opportunity.
You tell them.
You tell them. Yes. You say, give me your phone number so I can put it in my phone. Mm-hmm. You don't make it an option like.
And you know she was lying, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Because you know that voice.
No. I'm just the way she was doing. She's not in my community. She was just trying to, she was hesitating. What do I say? Oh, that girl over there, she's going to take care of me tonight. Yeah, no.
Not happening. Lying.
So test number one failed miserably. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, she's a lesbian. Fine, no big deal. No, my pride, my ego.
She must be a lesbian. She don't like me.
She don't want none of me.
Right.
If she would have seen that G-death tattoo indicating that you were gay, maybe that then she would have dug you.
All right, so once again, I try again. Test number two, find a girl. Same situation. I managed to get, now I was just her and another girl in this one. So managed to, another drink in my hand. Can I expense all these drinks I bought for these women?
Because I spent. Sure, you try that. Chemos is pretty cool about that kind of thing.
Think they'll like that? So once again, I managed to get her away from the it was just her other girlfriend. She never took the drink, which was my first indication that probably wasn't going to work at all. So here's
test number two.
I was watching you from across the bar. I hope you're enjoying your drinks. I hope you're having a great time tonight. But I'm a little nervous. My question is, I'd love to be able to get your phone number. I'm really trying to. I'd love to be able to take you out sometime, maybe dinner or something. What are the chances I can get your number?
I'm sorry, you can't get my number right now. I'm just getting out of a relationship and I'm out with my friends, trying to have fun. I'm not really out for that.
Well, I mean, if you're looking maybe to, you know, step back into the game, or maybe, you know, just if you want to vent to me, you're more than welcome to.
So she's just getting out of a relationship.
Oh, sure she is. She's probably getting out of a relationship with another girl. The way my luck's going. Strike two. Fail miserably. All right. So now my confidence is starting to lack just a little bit. Final time, this girl wasn't even drinking. I just walked up and pulled her away from her group of friends.
So you threw all the rules out the window,
yep,
and you're
now,
like,
now this, I'm on my own personal conquest just to get a damn number.
So this is just caveman stuff now.
This is pretty knuckle on the ground.
I think you're really attractive. I do. I've been watching you. You know, I'm pulling you away from your girls. Just want to talk to you for 2 seconds. What are the chances that tonight I could get your phone number?
Less than none. I have a boyfriend.
But he's not here tonight, is he?
No.
So what are the chances, you know, are y'all serious?
My brother's here.
Okay, that's cool. But, like, you know.
Yeah, I'm getting someone who's talking to you right now, so.
No.
Ouch, dude. Oh. You make me so uncomfortable.
Don't worry, I make myself so uncomfortable. So it worked, and I failed at the same time. So it's a confidence if you can get over there. And again,
No. I'm not really hearing the part where it worked.
I got the girl away from her flock.
Well, yeah, you physically pulled her away.
The third time I had to. It's the only way I was going to get her to talk to me.
I think the initial mistake you made was you didn't follow the rules to the T, where you needed to be at a place where you sent the drink over and then her and her friends got to debate you from afar. So you never even had a chance.
Thanks, buddy.
You never even had a chance, bud.
I know.
That has worked for you in the past, though. I remember when you were out with producer Tracy at the place in Atlantic Station. I'm drawing a blank
strip.
Right now.
Beach party?
Strip. Didn't you do the send the drink thing at Strip?
No, at Strip I had a girl send a drink to me.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, and she conquered. She was awesome. She won. She did a better job than I did.
Because she followed the rules.
Because she followed the rules.
Exactly.
It's all about confidence.
6:36 now. It's all the hits, Q100 and the Burt Show. I'm not real sure what conclusion to draw from that, because I don't feel like it was done 100%. So that is the most intimidating task, to see the group of people and try to approach them. It's still not even 99% of guys could not pull that off.
So actually the conclusion is that girls need to go out in smaller numbers if they want to hook up.
Far less intimidating. Far less intimidating.
Hey, the Burt Show.
This is something we want to replay that happened on the show yesterday.
And we'll find out, like, the follow-up on Monday. That's why we got to get everybody caught up right now.
Yeah, we're going to do a follow-up of this on Monday. This is Mia and Ryan, and the short version is he's married but wants to take her to breakfast to find out if they are soulmates.
Here's a little bit longer version is that Mia and this guy she's calling Ryan dated for years and years and years.
It's all in there.
And then he was traveling for biz. Oh, Okay.
We're replaying the whole thing.
The whole thing.
So this is the tale of Mia and Ryan, and the update comes Monday morning on The Burt Show on all the hits, Q100. Hey, Mia.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I'm torn. I'm so torn because this is not just some random married guy. This was the love of my life for several years, and it's a very complicated situation. There's a lot of details, but I'd like to give you the story so that you'll know how hard this is for me to deal with.
Okay. The floor is yours. Take it away.
Okay. We'll call him Ryan. That's not his real name either. I just don't want anybody to listen and know us because, you know, I have a lot of friends in the city.
Mm-hmm.
But I was with Ryan from the time I was 22 to the time I was about 25. I mean, we were together right out of college, and it was a perfect relationship. It was passionate. It was wonderful. We were, you know, destined to be together. He felt the same way. You know, work issues came up. You know, he needed to travel for a few years. But basically he said he was going to start out, you know, leaving Atlanta for about 8 months to go to Nebraska for a job offer. And then he was going to come back, or he was going to go to a major city where I could work, because I need to be in a you know, metropolitan kind of area.
Mm-hmm.
So his job in Nebraska really lasted only 6 months. So I was ecstatic thinking he was going to come back, right away, you know, because we had agreed to really wait for each other, and we kept in touch all the time. We talked like every other day, crazy phone bills. But after Nebraska, he ended up in Canada for 3 months, and I thought, well, I could do Toronto. Okay, I'll do Toronto. But then he goes, no, I'm only going to be here for 3 or 5 months. Then he was in Miami for a month, and then Oklahoma for 8 months. I mean, it just kept getting longer and longer and longer, and moving around so I could never really join him. And we stayed in touch, and we're very much in love still, but I got really frustrated because I kind of felt like he wasn't thinking about me as much as he was thinking about his job opportunities. So I did a really stupid thing. I was like, you know what, fine, I'm going to go out on a date. I'm going to show him that, you know, I'm not going to sit around and wait, you know, never really intending to, you know, be with this other person, just to, you know, get out of the house a little bit because I was kind of waiting around. And he found out through a friend of ours, because we're all very closely knit from school still, that I had gone out on this date. And I'll never forget it. You know, it was Thursday, January the 16th, 11:36 p.m., 2003. He called me on the phone. He told me that he found out I had gone out with somebody else, and then he never wanted to speak to me again.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it was devastating. I didn't know what to do. I felt horrible. I tried to reach out to him, you know, through an email or whatever. We really lost contact. He was truly done with me. So since that time, you know, it's been 3 years. I've thought about him every morning when I wake up. I think about him when I go to sleep. I dream about him. I, you know, have been Googling him, finding out what's going on with his work, kind of keeping tabs on him. But the really big issue is that I know that he met a girl. This is all through friends, because some of my friends keep in touch with him. He met a girl who's a second grade school teacher. They knew each other and dating for like 9.5 months. Then they got engaged very quickly and got married like 6 months later. So they've been together, you know, less than, you know, 18 months. They live in Washington, D.C. now, which is, you know, a nice city. And I thought, wow, he's married. This, what am I going to do? Well, I guess it's over. My heart's broken, because I really believed we were always going to get back together. But he called me on Sunday out of the blue. He called me. And then, yeah, he called me and left a message and said, you know, this is Ryan. I need to speak with you. Please call me back. So I called him back Monday morning. We had a brief talk, but basically he said to me he was going to be in town this weekend for business, and that he's thought about me every day since we broke up, and he thinks about me every night, and he really needs to see me and speak to me. But then he said, you know, I don't want there to be any alcohol at our meeting because I want us to be responsible. So we're meeting for breakfast on Saturday morning at around 10, and he has a 2 o'clock flight. So I was pushing for maybe a Friday night dinner, but he wants to see me Saturday morning before his flight. So, of course, I'm ecstatic to see him, but I'm also really freaking out because what does this mean? Does this mean that, you know, he feels unresolved? Does it mean that he's thinking about leaving his wife? I mean, if that's the case, I wish he'd just deal with her first, and then does she know he's going to see me? Like, I'm overwrought with all this emotion, and I want to just, you know, throw my arms around and tell him I love him, but I'm torn.
He didn't give you any indication of what this is about. He just said he wants to see you and kept it short and sweet, and that was it?
He said he didn't want to get into it on the phone, but, I mean, the hopeful part of me was when he told me, you know, he thinks about me every day, just like I do. That means he must, you know, love me still somewhere, but at the same time, he is married, and he doesn't want it, you know, he doesn't want it to be irresponsible, which means maybe he's afraid something will happen between us because he feels the way he feels. And so I just, you know, I don't want to, you know, marriage, but I don't know what's going to happen. It's been so long. We might be different people, but we might still be the perfect match.
Mia, you're not asking us whether or not you should go, because you're going. I can hear it in your voice. You're totally going to meet him for breakfast. And you're going to be looking so fine when you do it, too, aren't you?
Yes. I have an hair appointment Friday morning.
I mean, we can help you. I mean, we can help you speculate. We can help you, you know, we can give you advice on how to handle yourself. But you're not asking us whether you're going or not, because I know no matter what we say, you're going.
Being devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. They've been married for less than a year now, right? How long have they been married? Okay, less than a year. What if he got married, and once he got married, he suddenly realizes that Mia is the love of his life?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what it's...
I'm thinking, yeah.
Right, that's what it took.
We know you've been dreaming that for 3 years.
And isn't it better that he addresses it now with Mia to find out yes or no before ruining his marriage?
Well... just meeting with her for breakfast is potentially going to ruin his marriage. We don't know if he has been upfront with his wife about it. You know, we don't know. I mean,
well, what's he going to say to his wife? I'm going to go have dinner with, or breakfast with, who might be, like, he can't tell his wife. Like, what if he gets together with Mia and the chemistry is not there and he's like, oh, I was obviously having newlywed, you know, honeymoon jitters or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I think that he could be personally meeting with Mia to have closure.
Right.
She's the one that dated somebody else. He's the one that was heartbroken. You know, I mean, he could be meeting with her to say, leave me alone. I know that you call my friends all the time to find out about what I'm doing. My new wife hates you. I really need you out of my life. I mean, he could be doing that. We don't even know what his intention is.
Hey, Mia?
Yeah?
You said part of the thing that he said to you was that she, or that he said to you that he is also checked up on you and thinks about you every day. Is that accurate?
Yes. That was the thing that floored me.
Now, are you sure he said it that way? Or did he say something like, yeah, I know you moved into a new condo that would be like big news amongst a group of friends. And you heard, oh, he Googles me every other hour.
No. No, he told me, he's followed up on me through friends. He knows that I'm doing very well with work. And that, that I'm single. He actually mentioned that. He told me he was married, but that he thinks about me. He said, but I can't stop thinking about you. I need to see you. Those were his exact words. But he sounded kind of stressed out and freaked out about it, too. I wanted to talk right then and there over the phone. I was like, oh, I'm so glad that, you know, I kind of got a little gushy, which I'm going to try to work on. But he, I don't know, I haven't seen him in years, but he sounds like the same guy that, you know, I last saw when I was 25.
Except he's married.
I am going to be in the minority and say that you should go.
Thank you. I have to go, right? I mean, I have to go.
Oh, I knew that from when she don't care.
That's the first thing I said, is it doesn't matter what we say, you're going.
You're going.
You're going.
And the reason is unethical as it is, and as wrong as it is, if he made a mistake in getting married because someone else is the love of his life, then he has an obligation to address that issue. However, he did take vows, and he is married, mm-hmm. So now that he is in that relationship with... He has that relationship with his wife. As wrong as it is and as sick as it is, it's not right to end the new marriage with his wife or bring this up to her unless he knows for certain.
Mia, let me ask you a question. Okay. Since you're going on Saturday, because, like, I agree with Jen that that's not the issue.
I know. I say, I think you should go. And she's like, I know.
I know it. That's I've been saying this from the start.
That's why I'm already,
I should.
I've already got my shoes picked out. I got a hair appointment.
I do. I do.
She's already there. Yeah. She's already at the restaurant. Now, Mia, let me ask you a question. So let's say the guy comes to you and he says...
She's already at the restaurant.
Yeah, sure.
She's standing at the counter and Goldberg's going, toast it again, and looking at her watch.
Exactly. She's looking at the menu. I'll have another glass of water.
Right.
If he says, I just wanted to let you know that I am married, I'm going to stay faithful to my wife, we need to end this, and I do want closure, are you going to agree to that?
I guess I'll have to. I just want him to know how much I, you know that I messed up. But I was, you know, I was angry and frustrated, and I just wanted to know how much I love him, regardless of what'll happen.
You
and
can't
I'll
say
love
that
him forever.
You can't. I don't know if you can say that to
Did
him.
Did you just say you love him forever?
I will love him forever. I mean, you know, just because our circumstances have kept us apart, even if I
our circumstances,
can't be with him.
His marriage.
He's married to another woman, but, you know, that's just a bump in the road.
But, I mean, I still love him. I mean, I've tried to date other people, and there's just nobody even remotely like him.
But see, I mean, Mia, you haven't tried to date other people. You're going through the motions.
What's the longest relationship you've had since that January, that cold, dark January day?
What was the time again on that? What was the date again in the time?
Thursday, January 16th, 11:36 p.m., 2003.
Right.
So, since that day, how many relationships have you had?
Probably, I mean, relationships are such a weird term. I've dated guys probably like from 4 to 6.5 months was my longest one, but there was no passion there. It was kind of like we were having a good time, you know, hanging out. I mean, I've never been with anybody who was is you know, that connection. You know that connection. I mean, you can go through the motions, but you know at the end of the day... You lay down next to somebody, whether or not they're your soulmate or not.
Now, Mia, do you, because you spent so much time Googling him or whatever, I'm just curious, just answer these questions, yes or no.
Okay.
Do you know his home address in Washington, D.C.?
I know pretty much the vicinity, the street, yes.
Do you know the name of the school his wife is a second grade teacher at?
Yes, I've even seen her picture.
Do you, know, is she prettier than you?
No.
Do you know his email address?
Yes.
Do you know if he has a MySpace page?
Yes.
Do you know what the MySpace page is?
Yes.
How often do you look at it?
Every day.
Mia.
Neat. This is going to be fun. all right, Mia, we're going to talk back to you again on Monday.
Okay, thank you so much for your help.
Hey, how often do you... We didn't help you. We just talked to you. Jen Cobby called it 30 seconds into hearing your voice. How often
you're going. Just don't do anything. Don't say do anything.
How often do you call his office when he's not at his desk in order to hear his...
I haven't done that very much. Maybe once a month.
All right, we'll talk to you on Monday.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mia.
The Bird Show.